That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hi there, and welcome to Grief is My Superpower. I'm Mark Lemon, award-winning children's author, bereavement ambassador, and your host for this podcast. Each week, I'll be interviewing incredible people that get open and honest about their own experience with grief. When I was 12 years old, my dad was murdered, and my life changed forever. I try to explore with my guests if it's possible to live a happy and fulfilled life after the death of a loved one. You can find me as The Dad Author on Instagram and at the Lemon Drop Books website. For this episode, I've travelled to Surbiton in London to speak with Dad Bee Girls YouTube star Sarah Condon. Sarah is wife to Joel and mother to her four girls, Casey, Grace, Sophie and Chloe. Sarah speaks to me about the death of her brother and how it's changed her outlook on life. You can find Sarah on Instagram as Sarah Condon and at the Dad Bee Girls YouTube channel. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate and leave us a comment. By doing this, it will help us to reach more people in need of support at a tough time. This podcast is in support of children's bereavement charity, Winston's Wish. I am here in sunny Surbiton with the lovely Sarah Condon.
And it is sunny today.
It is sunny.
I am good, thank you.
You're good, good. And thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
No, thank you. Thanks for asking me.
No, it's a pleasure. So the rationale around this podcast is to try and help as many children, young people, adults as we can to open up the conversation around grief. But first, could you tell the listeners, if they don't already know who you are, who you are, where you come from, all of that stuff?
I'm just a normal girl. So me and my family, my husband and my four children, we have a YouTube channel, Dad V Girls. Obviously, because they are all four girls, so it's Dad on his own against all of us women. It's doing really well. It's lots of fun. So we're filming in our own house and getting them out. So lots of fun challenges.
And I have to say that currently we are in their studio, which is in their house, which is quite amazing, having your own sort of little studio.
This is like Joel's den.
But you need it, don't you? Because talking about last night, you had good news.
We did. Yeah, we got 500,000 subscribers. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
It is. I can't believe 500,000 people like what we're doing. It's mad. So, yeah.
Have you found that has kind of rocketed quite quickly in terms of the following and the subscribers?
Definitely. Yeah, it's all gone very quick. Very nice. I feel very lucky and very blessed. But we just didn't imagine it to go this big, this quick, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you saw at the football, that charity football match, we had lots of people come in wanting photos.
And
I always like to say, I'm just a normal girl. Like,
that must be quite a nice feeling in a way.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah. And seeing the reaction on the young people's faces as well.
Yeah, because they are. They're mostly young teenagers.
What would you say? So teenagers?
From our YouTube, it would definitely be young teenagers.
Are you able to give our listeners just a little bit of background as to your own grief story?
Yeah, of course. So my grief is my brother passed away. We were so close, really, really close. As a family, we're very close. See my mum most days. Saw Mickey most days. So that's his name, Mickey. Mm. He had a motorbike accident and it was just a complete and utter shock, and it's just ripped the family apart. It was just awful, horrendous. He was 19, and he had a little girl called Jamie, very beautiful, and he had a baby on the way. Mm-hmm. He got a motorbike that day. So annoying. It was literally that day. He put his little girl to bed and wanted to go out on his motorbike. And because, like I said, we're really close, he actually came round and showed us all. So he came to my house, showed me and my husband, And then he went and showed my dad, who was out with my sister. But then I actually was getting married 5 weeks after this. So I was actually sat on the computer just looking at wedding stuff. I just remember it really clearly. And Joel's dad went to the gym. So after Mickey had come, Joel then went to the gym. And obviously he went and saw my dad and my sisters and my mum. And Joel's dad called me, because Joel's dad's very religious. Mm. Joel's dad called me and said, I've actually had a message from God. And he lived in Spain at the time. He was in the middle of a mountain. And he just said, I've had a message from God. I don't know what it's about, but I'm praying for you, Sarah. Is everyone in the house? And I said, well, no, Joel's at the gym. And he said, okay, I don't know what it is, but I'm praying. Lock the doors. Don't let anyone in. As soon as Joel's in, just give me a call back. So I was like, okay. So Joel walked in and I remember saying, Joel, like, your dad's just rang me with this weird message. And I wasn't really, you know, in belief about God or so. It kind of went over my head. But Joel was like, why would he ring you? I don't understand why he would ring you and panic you like that when you told him I was out. I don't know why he'd do that. I said, it's fine. So I went back to the computer. Joel went into the kitchen to make a protein shake. He literally came back into the kitchen and he was white. His colour had just gone. And instantly I thought someone had got into the house because of the message from his dad. I just thought someone had got the, because I only had the two girls at the time, Casey and Grace. Right. So I thought someone got in the house. So I'm panicking. And then Joel said, no, I've had a call. Your brother's died. And I just literally fell to the floor. And he said he's been in a motorbike accident. I remember I literally fell to the floor and my phone started ringing. I looked, it was my sister Emma. So I picked it up. I stopped crying for that split second to answer it. I just thought maybe it's not true. Like, and she'd confirm it. And her crying on the other end of the phone confirmed that it was true. So we actually called Joel's mum and asked her to come and sit with the girls, which... she only lived down the road, but it just felt like it took forever for her to get here. So yeah. When she did get here, she'd actually heard the name wrong. And she thought that Joel was obviously crying down the phone. She thought he'd said that Megdy had died, which is Joel's best friend.
Right.
So when she came in, she was trying to talk to me, thinking Joel wouldn't be able to talk, and was asking me, well, how did he die? And I'm thinking, I don't want to know this. Like, I don't want to, don't ask me this right now. So, Joel took me to my mum and dad's. And then when I just got there, gosh, it was just horrendous. I don't think I'm ever going to forget that look on my mum and dad's face, that my mum was just sat curled up on the sofa. It was just shaking, physically shaking. My dad was stood looking at his picture, just screaming, my boy, why my boy? Because they actually had a baby called Anthony who died of cot death when he was 3 months old. So Mickey was the baby after that baby. And he was just everyone's world, you know? Was, because I've got my sisters, but then, so they've lost two boys. They only had two boys and they've lost them both. It just didn't seem fair at all. Yeah. It just... So that night was just us huddled round my mum. We wrapped her in coats because she was just physically shaking. My dad was crying. Obviously, the police were round. But what is really strange is that when it happened, the road that he was driving down is actually the road he was just heading home. He was just about to go around the corner. And a car was going down and decided that it's going the wrong way. So quickly did a U-turn in the road.
Right.
And as it used the bend, it didn't see Mickey and it just hit him.
Okay.
And Mickey was going too fast. So that guy could never take the blame, sure. Because they said that Mickey participated in his own death. That's how they saw it, even though it was very clear the man didn't look, just, you know, turn and... And they said that Mickey was such a good driver that he could see that person turning and he tried to brake.
Right.
Had he not braked, the speed he was at, he would have just sped past. But because he broke, the collision. So, but the road that he was going down. My dad and my sister had just been at amateur dramatics, and they drive that way. They were dropping somebody home. My mum was at home at this point, and a ambulance sped past my dad. My dad just pulled over in the middle of the road, got out, fell to the floor and cried, and was like, "That's Mickey. That's Mickey." And my sister was like, "Dad."
It's like he instinctively.
Yeah. He said in his heart, it just knew. He's like, honestly, he just knew. And he felt, and my sister was like, "Get up, Dad. Get up. Like, what are you doing?" And a neighbour come and helped him up. And my sister said all she saw was my dad going up their stairs to use their toilet, but on his hands and knees, crying that it's his son. But he hasn't seen anything. There was no evidence at this point. There was even a motorbike accident. So my sister rang my mum, was like, "You need to get here now. Dad's going crazy. There's been an accident, but he thinks it's Mickey." And my mum said she just knew as well. She said as that mum and dad instinct
say that, you know, don't they? I remember when my dad died and I was asked to cycle home, you know, and I was like 12 years old, so I was at school and it was the end of the day. End of the school day, and instinctively you just know something awful has happened.
It's, oh my goodness.
You know, like a shiver up your spine. And when you were talking about everything seemed to take for ages, you know, like when you were waiting for that to come round to the house, and I immediately remember that sense of how everything takes so long, because I think you're just wanting to know that, you know, what the news is, you know, so desperately, aren't you?
Gosh, yeah. It is. It just feels like everything's in slow motion, and how you can you just remember it all as well. And it's funny because, well, not funny, ha-ha, but funny that we were all in different places. So your story of it is so different.
Mm.
My sister obviously was with my dad.
Yeah.
And then she called my mum. When my mum got there, my mum's very quite matter of fact, my dad's quite emotional, so my mum was just to just go look, let's go see, let's, you know, because she'd been trying to ring Mickey's phone, it wasn't answering, so she went, in which case she'd rang Kerry, Mickey's girlfriend, and they'd blocked it off, and she was obviously around that corner of the other side, so she got to the railings the other side, and just as she got there she saw Mickey's bike, and on this side my sister saw his trainer, so they kind of called and just all at the same time just knew it was him. But the police, because the bike had only gone through that day, all the insurance, the documents hadn't gone through, so they actually couldn't tell who the driver was just yet, so it took forever. My mum was trying to get through knowing it was him, but then what we found out afterwards is actually just, it was just awful that when the car hit him, when the car hit him, they felt that they'd hit something but didn't know, and they carried on driving for a little while, and my brother had actually got caught underneath, right. So they dragged him, so they found the bike, but for ages they couldn't find the body, where he was obviously underneath, like, yeah. So but well, it's not, but the only kind of peace of mind that is, the police said that he died on impact.
Right.
He died instantly, so he wouldn't have felt any of that. But, you know, these images.
I guess for loved ones' peace of mind, in a strange way, that's, you know, to know that they didn't suffer too much in terms of immediate. How long ago was that?
So this was 8 years ago.
8 years.
March. Yeah, gone.
And I bet it doesn't feel that long ago.
Do you know, it's so funny because at one minute it will feel like it's been forever since I last saw him.
Mm.
And then with all the emotion, it's like it only happened yesterday.
Mm.
It's a constant battle in your head of just feeling like, you know, it was just, it just feels like forever that I last got to hug him, because
you have those flashbacks, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you know, all, yeah. We talk about him every day. There's not a day that he is not mentioned with us in this house, with me and the girls, because obviously the two bigger girls remember him, Sophie and Chloe wasn't born when he was here, but he used to do this thing where he would be like, Casey, do you want to see me tip mummy upside down? And she would get really excited, and he was so strong, even though he was so much younger than me, he was so strong, he literally would pick me up and scoop me and tip me upside down and just kind of shake me. So Casey and Grace would just laugh. It was just,
yeah,
he was great, yeah.
That's quite a story, isn't it? You know, I mean,
yeah, I've told it well because I feel like
I think you did a great job, and thank you for sharing, because you know it's hard enough telling it, but going back to those moments of you know, remembering, hearing about the death of your brother, you know, is hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you have to go back to that moment. Do you think it's like changed you in terms of the parent you are today, or the mother you are today? You know, do you think
definitely. It's
kind of altered your outlook on the way you?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Look after your children.
I think so. I think I definitely don't take life or anybody in my family, friends, for granted. I really appreciate everybody that I've got around me, and I make sure. It's really funny because my mum said this, because Joel made a really nice video for Mickey for his children, and it was really hard to make because we made it when it just happened, but he wanted that rawness of all our memories of him and even the accident of how it happened, so that the girls knew everything. It was really lovely. But I said in that video that when Mickey passed away, I'm gonna take what I felt that he gave to life, which was anyone around him, if you spent time with him, you would definitely laugh, or you'd feel happy. So I just thought, I'm going to take that. And my mum said, you've done that. She's like, I said, the baby's crying. She's like, you said you'd do that, and you've done that. So always, I just want to make people happy. I always put people before myself.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rationale around this podcast, and it is called Grief is My Superpower, because in a sense, when you've gone through so much pain, you know, to come out of the other side, you start to appreciate life a bit more, and you see a lot more of the good in things, in terms of, you know, your loved ones and your family and how you view everyday life.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the case with you then?
Definitely. Honestly, if you ask anyone about me, I think that's pretty much what they would say. I my family is everything to me. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm the same. It's, you know, the way I look at Otis and Thea, and, you know, spending every day with them, and just, you know, like this morning, leaving the house, and, you know, you try and remember, you know, I remember seeing my dad leave for the last time through, you know, and it's like you go through those points, you know, probably like you did with memories with your brother, and, you know, did I say enough to them? Did I tell them I love them enough? And all of these things. But like you said, those are like the memories that you cherish, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that about the last, because actually when Mickey came here to see me, obviously it was March, it was cold. He was just in a silly tracksuit. He didn't have any protective gear on because he was so excited to ride his bike. He didn't have anything on. And I actually had his huge fluorescent jacket here. And he was at my front door, and I said to him, let me grab you your jacket. You need it, it's cold. And I went to get it, and he was like, no, I don't want it. I was like, no, please, just put it on. And he wouldn't. So I've still got it, because it was just like, oh, as his big sister, obviously he wasn't going to listen to me. But, you know, you think it could have been seen. Yeah, I had his trousers and his jacket.
And you've kept it to this day.
Yeah.
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 But those are the things, like anyone, you know, listening to this who've lost someone or, you know, bereaved, you know, you try. I think it's a positive thing that you keep hold of those things. I know I've got my dad's jacket at home, you know, and like these little things that you keep, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so many people have said to me, oh God, I wish that I had kept such and such that belonged to them, or, you know, to sort of at least just hold and feel and smell.
I wish I had more photos.
Yes.
Back 8 years ago, we didn't have Instagram or anything like that. So it isn't the way it is today of taking photos. So that's why I actually really like Instagram, because I can take pictures of the girls, and it's just there for me and them to see. And it's just because I'm actually not very good at taking photos, just as in to remember to get my phone out. I enjoy the moment. I'm very much, if I'm on holiday, I'll be on holiday. But then afterwards I think, oh, if anything happened, I want more photos. So it's a catch 22.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can, like this week, you know, I've been places and I thought, I've left. I was like, oh, I should have taken a photo for that, you know. But I think there is a positive to it that you're so in the moment,
yeah,
and you're having such a good time that, you know, you,
not
you,
worried
you
about
don't
your
capture
phone.
It.
Yeah.
It's a bit like going out with your mates on a night out, you know. There's a good night's when you don't have any photos
yeah,
at all
yeah.
to tell, you know, probably a good thing, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think, have you had any coping techniques that you've maybe used after the death of your brother that have been useful?
Yes. So I started a diary, not a diary of Dear Diary, but what I done was I got a diary, and it was actually a Mickey Mouse diary for Mickey. And every day that I went to bed, I would write three things that I'm grateful for in that day. In the beginning, that was very hard, and they would just be little things. You know, it would be the what you'd expect. Thankful for my mom and my dad, thankful for my children. But then it was things that I really started to appreciate. Like, I love autumn. I love when the leaves turn orange and they're crunchy leaves. Like, these little things that I look out for now, because I just think, look for a positive in every day. There's always something. There's one positive.
This is going to be a question a bit later on, but you've kind of led perfectly into it.
Oh, sorry.
No, because, which is strange, because we came into it. And so I guess one thing I was going to ask you is, if you had three things that you would remember your brother about, and you might have already touched them already, you know, that you, when you sit down, if you're feeling low, and, you know, if it's on his birthday or whatever it is, if you could think of three things that make you smile about your brother, what do you think they might be?
Three things. I got them tattooed. Live, laugh and love. And it's such a cliche of a quote, but I promise you, he lived every single day. He put everyone else before himself. If you needed something, he would be there. He loved. He loved with all his heart. There wasn't one person on his funeral. There were so many people, we didn't expect it to be the way it was, that they couldn't even fit in the church. There was a huge amount of people because he was so loved, because he loved so much. Mm. And laughed, it honestly would make everyone laugh. He was just enjoyable to be around. So my three things, I got tattooed on his birthday.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You led into How that funny. Really nicely. Yeah. Yeah. It's even on your body.
Although the tattoo does look like Lao. It doesn't look like yeah. they haven't done
Live,
an A.
Lao and love.
He loud.
But that's really nice. And I, yeah. you know, for anyone, I mean, you mark the loved ones that have gone in various ways, but I've also got tattooed, you know, in terms of time as my healer. And funny enough, I've got four roses around it, which that was done before I met my wife. So I kind of see that as me, my wife and my two children. Yeah. But, you know, that's the way I look at it anyway.
Well, I've got another tattoo on my ankle.
Yeah.
So my friend designed it, and me, my sister went at the same time, and me and my sister got the exact same tattoo. So it's a heart with Mickey written through with angel wings. And my mum was getting a little, it was her first ever tattoo. She was too scared to get tattoos, but she got a tattoo of Mickey and Anthony around her wrist, and my dad was getting Mickey down his arm. And the four of us were sat in the waiting room, and as they called us to go in, on the radio came, "Hey Mickey, you're so fine, you're blowing." And we were just like, oh my goodness. But I can't remember what they're called, the guy that does the funeral,
the undertakers?
Yes, the undertaker was actually my dad's friend, and he had heard that me and my sister got the same tattoo. Mm. So without us knowing, he got the design, and the coffin is engraved with the exact same.
Oh, wow.
So then my mum was like, obviously, she wants the same, so she then went and got it on her back.
And
so me and my sister and the coffin have all got the same symbol, the heart with the wings.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess another conversation that I think could probably be improved, and I think that the grief and taboo are in the UK, there's a lot more that can be done about it. And that's why I wrote The Magical Wood originally, was because I wanted to try and open up the conversation with young children.
Amazing book, by the way. I love your book. I'm not just saying that because you're here. You know, I'm your number one fan for your book.
Yeah, no, you've been amazing. And I really, really appreciate it. Do you think there's anything more that could be done maybe to open up the conversation in schools? I mean, you've obviously got children in school and secondary school.
Definitely. I think there definitely should be. I had a girl that I went to school with, that her mum and her dad passed away, and she found it really tough. And also I've got a cousin who lost her mum, but schools didn't seem to know how to deal with it. It was kind of like to not talk about it, in which these people that only I've experienced, there could be other people that have gone through school and been absolutely fine. But it was then that was used as an excuse to not have to do their coursework, or to come in school if they didn't want to. And I just felt like if they had had that bit more support, and actually, you know, it is very sad what's happened. It's awful, but you have to kind of get back into it, because now when you're faced with the real world, people don't give you that, you know, that reason and excuse that it's okay not to turn up because something's happened, but school kind of did. So I do feel like there definitely should be more for children.
I agree with you. I think if there was maybe an improved support network within schools, you know, so when the bereaved child is suffering, then they would have a room that they could go into or speak. I know a lot of schools are getting a lot better, and resources are getting better, but I totally agree with you, because again, and we also talked a little bit earlier about mental health, you know, and I always say that grief isn't essentially a mental health, but, you know, if it's not approached, talked about at a young age, then it can go on to affect you later on in life.
Well, it's funny because I think grief could be a part of mental health, because the emotions that you physically go through, it's draining, it's hard. And it's, I think with being with school, it would actually be quite nice for them to have somebody to talk to that's not at home. Because for me and my family are really, really close. And when it happened, here was where everyone came. It was big to hold everyone. It was, you know, we didn't even talk about it. Every morning it would get up, we would come here, and we would all experience this grief. But there would be a day where, you know, my dad might go and see his friend, or my mum might go and see her friend or her sister, and my sister would go out. But because it was here at my house, I didn't meet anyone else.
Right.
So I feel like, obviously, I know it's different with schools, but if I'd had someone to talk to, my own, that wasn't, you know, in that, going through that raw emotion that I'm going through, I could have just opened up a bit more of my feelings. So with school, if they can go to school and speak to somebody, it definitely takes them.
I think that's, everything you've said is so true, because, you know, and I can speak from experience being 12 years old. Everyone, when you're going through grief, and you know that as an adult too, but like you said, everyone goes through their own experience. They deal with it their own way. And yeah, if there was that support that they know they can, once they're in school, they don't have to fear going into school.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can have that support.
Yeah.
So I guess, and you might have said it already just now, but if there are any young listeners out there, and, you know, you guys obviously have a very large YouTube following that's a young demographic. have you got any, like, messages for someone that might be going through bereavement at the moment?
I would say, what would I say? I'm going to think about this. I think time isn't a healer. What you do is you learn to live a new life. Mm-hmm. But there is a positivity in everything you do. And as much as you don't feel like it, just look, just keep looking out for those little positives. Even something like the birds and their tweeting. Honestly, it's those little things that will get you through. Each day, think to one to three, write what you're grateful for, and just keep going, and you will get there. It's a long journey, but you will get there. 8 years on, I'm still emotional sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
You say about mental health, I have to work out. And if I don't, then I get quite down. It's just my way of, you know, just dealing
with That's a great tip, isn't it?
Life. So, yeah.
So just exercise is a great way of dealing with grief.
Yeah.
You know, being creative, if you like writing, drawing, painting, whatever it is, you know, and like you said, exercise.
It's just trying to find that, as hard as it is, it's trying to find some kind of normality and enjoyment. Mm. You just have to look for it and, it's really hard, isn't it? I want to know what the right thing to say to somebody is, but is there a right thing? I don't know.
I don't think there is a right thing. I think, you know, again, it's letting children, adults know that somebody's there for them. And again, something we haven't talked about is, did you find maybe after a certain period of losing your brother that, you know, you obviously have that instant support network of people going, I'm so sorry for your loss and all of that. And then it kind of, the experience can be that it goes quiet.
Yeah.
You know, did you find that at all?
Yes, definitely. And a friend of mine always sticks in my head because she came and spoke to me a couple of days later, and she said, if you need me within the next few days, she said, call me, but I won't be here within the next couple of weeks. When everyone then goes back to life, that's when I'll be there.
Amazing.
And I always kind of thought, what? And then it made so much sense. Like you said, everyone's life goes on. And mine didn't seem to for a long time. And it kind of felt lonely because even walking down the high street and we were having to choose, go into the shop to choose flowers and stuff. It was just seeing everyone else. I remember looking around thinking they're just going on with their lives. And my life has just literally been ripped from underneath me.
Yeah, it's that you're not the same person anymore, are
you?
And I think your friends and loved ones who need to appreciate the fact that you've changed as a person.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. I don't know if you found that at all. But that was a really quick half an hour. I think one final thing that I'd love to end on is, and it's quite a tough one really, if you were sat there with your brother for one last time and you could say something to him, is there anything specifically that you would say?
First of all, I think I'd tell him that he's a bloody idiot for driving his motorbike. I think about this all the time. Just one thing. I just tell him that I absolutely love him, I just miss him so much. Like, I love him so much, and he was just a huge part of our family, and he's missed. I think I'd just hug him.
Now that's, I think that would be the response for a lot of people.
I think so.
And I'd be the same with my dad, you know, if I sat there with him today. Yeah, it'd be the same. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're
that.
Welcome.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for sitting here and sharing your story with our listeners. And I'm sure that everyone's going to get a lot out of it. Everyone's story is individual, but it's been really amazing and inspiring listening to your story about your brother. So thank you so much.
Thanks. No, thank you.